Blog Talk Radio.
His sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. The conditions of obtaining mercy of God are simple and just and reasonable. The Lord does not require us to do some grievous thing in order that we may have the forgiveness of sin. We need not make long and wearisome pilgrimages or perform painful penances to commend our souls to the God of heaven, or to expiate our transgression. But he that confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. The Apostle says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed." James 5:16. Confess your sins to God, who only can forgive them, and your faults to one another. If you have given offense to your friend or neighbor, you are to acknowledge your wrong, and it is his duty to freely forgive you. Then you are to seek the forgiveness of God, because the brother you have wounded is the property of God, and in injuring him, you sinned against his Creator and Redeemer. The case is brought before the only true mediator, our great High Priest, who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin, and who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and is able to cleanse from every stain of iniquity. Hebrews 4:15. Those who have not humbled their souls before God in acknowledging their guilt have not yet fulfilled the first condition of acceptance. If we have not experienced that repentance which is not to be repented of, and have not with true humiliation of soul and brokenness of spirit confessed our sins, abhorring our iniquity, we have never truly sought for the forgiveness of sin, and if we have never sought, we have never found the peace of God. The only reason we do not have remission of sins that are past is that we are not willing to humble our hearts and comply with the conditions of the Word of Truth. Explicit instruction is given concerning this matter. Confession of sin, whether public or private, should be heartfelt and freely expressed. It is not to be urged from the sinner. It is not to be made in a flippant and careless way. or forced from those who have no realizing sense of the abhorrent character of sin. The confession that is the outpouring of the inmost soul finds its way to the God of infinite pity. The psalmist says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Psalm 34:18. True confession is always of a specific character, and acknowledges particular sins. They may be of such a nature as to be brought before God only. They may be wrongs that could be confessed to individuals who have suffered injury through them. Or they may be of a public character, and should then be as publicly confessed. But all confession should be definite and to the point, acknowledging the very sins of which you are guilty. In the days of Samuel, the Israelites wandered from God. They were suffering the consequences of sin, for they had lost their faith in God, lost their discernment of His power and wisdom to rule the nation, lost their confidence in His ability to defend and vindicate His cause, turned from the great ruler of the universe and desired to be governed as were the nations around them. Before they found peace, they made this definite confession: "We have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king." 1 Samuel 12:19. The very sin of which they were convicted had to be confessed. Their ingratitude oppressed their souls and severed them from God. Confession will not be acceptable to God without sincere repentance and reformation. There must be decided changes in the life. Everything offensive to God must be put away. This will be the result of genuine sorrow for sin. The work that we have to do on our part is plainly set before us: wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Get restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life, without committing iniquity. He shall surely live, he shall not die. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 15. Paul says, speaking of the work of repentance, "Ye sorrowed after a godly sort. What carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter." 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 11. When sin has deadened the moral perceptions, the wrongdoer does not discern the defects of his character, nor realize the enormity of the evil he has committed, and unless he yields to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, he remains in partial blindness to his sin. His confessions are not sincere and in earnest. To every acknowledgment of his guilt he adds an apology in excuse of his course, declaring that if it had not been for certain circumstances, he would not have done this or that for which he is reproved. After Adam and Eve had eaten of the forbidden fruit, they were filled with a sense of shame and terror. Their only thought was how to excuse their sin and escape the dreaded sentence of death. When the Lord inquired concerning their sin, Adam replied, laying the guilt partly upon God and partly upon his companion, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." The woman put the blame upon the serpent, saying, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Genesis 3:12-13. "Why did you make the serpent? Why did you suffer him to come to Eden?" These were the questions implied in her excuse for her sin, thus charging God with the responsibility of their fall. The spirit of self-justification originated in the father of lies, and has been exhibited by all the sons and daughters of Adam. Confessions of this order are not inspired by the divine spirit, and will not be acceptable to God. true repentance will lead a man to bear his guilt himself and acknowledge it without deception or hypocrisy. So much as his eyes unto heaven he will cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And those who do acknowledge their guilt will be justified, for Jesus will plead his blood in behalf of the repentant soul. The examples in God's Word of genuine repentance and humiliation reveal a spirit of confession in which there is no excuse for sin or attempt at self-justification. Paul did not seek to shield himself. He paints his sin in the darkest hue, not attempting to lessen his guilt. He says, Many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Acts chapter 26, verses 10 and 11. He does not hesitate to declare that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. 1 Timothy 1:15. The humble and broken heart, subdued by genuine repentance, will appreciate something of the love of God and the cost of Calvary, and as a son confesses to a loving father, so will the truly penitent bring all his sins before God. And it is written, If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. End of chapter 4.
Amen, amen. And that was Steps to Christ, and the chapter was Confession. Amen. Good evening, brothers and sisters, and welcome this evening to Advent Light Ministry Prayer Live. And we'll have a word of prayer. It says the Lord said, where there's two or three gather, he's in the midst. And right now it's three of us, and just sending out texts, waiting on others to join us. Amen. So I thank Sister Powell and Sister Leola for being on the line, and I'll start with a word of prayer. Kind and loving Father, Lord, we thank you for this Sabbath day of rest. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your mercy, your love, your protection towards us, Lord. We are here another Sabbath day to come at your feet and worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. A lot of people did not see this new day, Lord. No, they might have made plans, Lord, for the future, but yet, because of whatever circumstances, Lord, a lot of people did not wake up this morning, and some are even fighting for their life. We ask that you will have mercy upon them. I pray that they have accepted you as their personal Savior, Lord, before it's too late, Lord. Help us, O kind and loving Father. Forgive us of our sins, our trespasses. Forgive us, Lord, where we have come short, where we have not done the work that you have called us to do in the time of peace, Lord, and we may have to do it even in these last days, Father. But give us the strength, give us the courage to go forth in your name, Father, because if we live or if we die, we belong to you, O Lord. We die unto you, Lord. For you say in your word, you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And we thank you ever so much, Lord. Please bless each and every one that's joining us now and those that will be joining us. Hasten their footstep, Lord. Even bless the speaker that will be bringing the message today, Brother Eugene, Lord. May you fill him with the Holy Spirit, Lord. May you be a blessing, Father, to each and every one of us, so that we can share the good news, so that we can encourage others and be a blessing, Father, to them and point them to you, which is the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank you, Lord. We glorify, we magnify your name, Lord. We thank you for each and every brothers that we have met, that we have come across, that we have prayed with, that we have encouraged. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to do your work, Lord. Help us to do it with zeal and zest, Lord. Help us not to give up our faith. Help us, courageous and brave, even at this time, Lord, that you have called us to be your witness. We thank you again. We glorify, we magnify your name. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Again, brothers and sisters, please press 1 if you have a testimony, prayer request, or scripture reading. I'll go ahead and read a scripture before I open the line, but you can press 1. I will read Isaiah chapter 55, Isaiah chapter 55, starting at verse 6. It says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him to our God, for he is abundantly pardoned." He will abundantly pardon. And God tell us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, said the Lord. For as the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Amen. So we know the Lord doesn't think like us. He doesn't see like us. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His thoughts are more intelligent than our thoughts, more kind and loving than our thoughts, long-suffering, forbearance. Amen. And we thank him for that, because if not, we would have perished. Amen. So let us continue to seek the Lord in spirit and in truth, brothers and sisters. I'll go ahead and open the line for the first caller there. Press 1 again. Thank you for joining us. 518-498. Happy Sabbath. Your line is open. Taliola? I'm sorry, Sister Powell, your line is open.
Oh, okay. It's stuck. Hello. Thank you, Sister Carla. Happy Sabbath. Happy Sabbath,
thank
brothers
you.
And sisters. You hearing me?
Yes, we can
hello?
Hear you.
Hello? Okay. Happy
yes,
Sabbath, Sister Carla, and happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. I'm so thankful for this Sabbath. You know, we have been studying the Sabbath this week, and let me tell you, it wake us up. It open our eyes. And we all come together that we go to the Lord and ask the Lord pardon, because we was not keeping the Sabbath the way the Lord want us to keep it. And all we have to do is to pray and ask the Lord to guide and to lead us, that we will keep the Sabbath how he wants it to be. Because this Sabbath is very important. We may think that it is not important. It is important, because that is what is going to be the test for this time. And this week, there were so many things talk and so much people talking about the Sabbath. And the Sabbath that they're talking about is the Sunday Sabbath. So we are so thankful that God have given us this Sabbath, and he wants us to respect his Sabbath, and also to share with others, to let others know that this commandment was a commandment given to God. And as it's stated in Exodus 28, you know, about the fourth commandment, and the first word of the fourth commandment is remember. And remember a thing, he said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, Exodus 28. And this is the only commandment that's stated to remember, because the Lord knows that we would be, you know, we easy to forget, so he told us to remember. And this is the only commandment preferred by the word remember. And when God gave the Sabbath, he knew its value, and he also knew that it would be disregarded by many, and we saw that it have been. He knew how the devil would do everything possible to lead men to forget the Sabbath. He also knew that men in time would ignore the binding obligation of the commandment. For this reason, God caused special attention of the word remember, that it be kept in mind and it was never to be forgotten, right? So this is the word, the law that God gave us, and also how important it is for each one. So I just want to really thank God that he can remind us, you know, how we should keep the Sabbath, and also to share this commandment with others so that they may know to be obedient to him. And I will just sing this little song. Safely through another week, God has brought us on our way. Let us now a blessing seek, waiting in his courts today. Day of all, the week the best, emblem of eternal rest. Day of all, the week the best, emblem of eternal rest. While we seek supply of grace through the dear Redeemer's name, show thy reconciling face, take away our sin and shame. From our worldly cares sets free, may we rest this day in thee. From our worldly cares sets free, may we rest this day in thee. When the morn shall bid us rise, may we feel thy presence near. May thy glory meet our eyes when we in thy house appear. Here afford us, Lord, a taste of our everlasting feast. Here afford us, Lord, a taste of our everlasting feast. May the gospel joyful sound conquer sinners, comfort saints, make the fruit of grace abound, bring relief to all complaints. Thus may all our Sabbath be, till we rise to reign with thee. Thus may all our Sabbath be, till we rise to reign with thee. Praise the Lord. I just want to thank God for this blessed Sabbath day. Continue, sister, I'm asking you to pray for us, and also my brothers and sisters, pray for us that we will stand and also stand for him to be obedient with the Lord, that we can follow his command and also share it with our brothers and sisters. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Sister Powell, for coming on and sharing. And just want to thank each and every one of my brothers and sisters for also coming on and sharing. Amen. God is good, and he is truly worthy to be praised. I just thank the Lord for just a testimony for opening the other line, for meeting the gentleman Christian. And I went back because I thought he was going to be back out there, and he was not. So I don't know if he didn't make it back or they banned him from being out there. But I know he was from Petersburg. I didn't have his information or anything. So just keep him in prayer, Christian and his family. Amen. I'll go to the next line, and I also have another testimony, but I'll go and open the next line. Again, happy Sabbath, 225-337. Your line is open.
Good evening, sisters and brothers, the Leola, and I'm calling from Baton Rouge, Gonzales, Louisiana. Sister Carla and Sister Power, I just want to give God the thanks, you know, for blessing me to be able the first week that God has helped me. And I'm not saying anything that I did. I am trying to obey God's voice. And as I was preparing for this, and I say, well, honey, let us just have a word of prayer to open the Sabbath. We open the Sabbath up early, sisters and brothers. And so I say, I check the line at 5:30. And I say, well, not on. I say, well, let me just pray, and I open the Sabbath up at 6 o'clock. So, and I say, well, let me just go on the line and wait till Sister Carla come, and then I'm gonna study some scriptures. So, Sister Carla, I would like to share Ezekiel chapter 20. And as Sister Powell was saying, you know, you know what really opened my eyes about the Sabbath? We will not see God if the Bible says that the Sabbath is holy, and it says that we have to be holy. So, and that's the seal of the living God. So, you know, he said he sanctified it and he set it apart. And what does that mean? Holy, holy, that is holy unto the Lord. So I would like to read, I'm going to start at Ezekiel chapter 20, and I'm going to start at verse 10. It says, wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgment, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctified them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgment, which if a man do them, he shall even live in them. And my Sabbath they greatly polluted. Then I said, I pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness and consume them. But I wrought for my name's sake, that I should not be polluted before the heathens in whose sight I brought them out. And I want to read verse 16 and 19 and 20. And it said, because they despised my judgment and walked not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbath, for their heart went after idols. And verse 19, I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes and keep my judgment and do them, and hallow my Sabbath, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. Notwithstanding, and the children rebelled against me, they walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgment, to do them which if a man do, he shall even live in them. They polluted my Sabbath and then out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. And brothers and sisters, that is enough for if we read it and ask the Holy Spirit to prick our heart, and not to say in fear, but the Bible says the beginning of wisdom is you know, you fear the Lord. So on the same token, I would say, you know, fearing the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So I'm getting some wisdom, sisters and brothers, because I want to be sealed with the living God. And I desire to see Jesus and my Father for myself. So the Sabbath is important. And I say, Lord, if I can begin practicing this week, I'm not looking back I'm not looking behind me the other weeks. I'm looking forward to this week. So by God's grace, I started early this morning at 4:30. I said, Lord, I got to get it all done. I began earlier, but early this morning, I said, I need this time to get it done. So I just want to give God thanks for what he does in our life, because I'm telling you, we do the same old thing every day. And we'll read these scriptures and not understand it. And I wanted to find that scripture. Jesus said we read and we do things, but we don't understand. Or sometimes we just not, just not having faith and practicing God's word. But that's one point in our life we will understand. And now with these problems in the world, you know, sisters and brothers, we got to get ready. So that's all I have to say. I want to thank God for bringing trials upon our life so we can know that Jesus is even at the door. So thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. I just want to say, ask for prayers for all Adventists, that we wake up and we study these scriptures and search deep, that God show them their sins and help them to study that Sabbath. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ceciliola. Thank you for sharing. Amen. And Nicholas is here. He would like to share a Bible verse, and I'd also like to share something about the Sabbath. Amen? Go ahead, Nicholas.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. This is Nicholas. And I'll Good evening, brothers and sisters. This is Nicholas, and I'll read from Jeremiah 29:13. God's promise is, ye shall seek me and find me, and when ye search for me with all your heart. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Nicholas. And praise the Lord. So when we search for the Lord with all our heart, you know, when we seek him, like the scripture said, we shall find him. So let us do that, like Sister Leola and Sister Powell saying, from this day forward, let us turn a new page and, really seek the Lord and confess our sin. But I was looking at a video on YouTube, and it was a preacher, and he was, I didn't know what church or where he was from, but he was talking about the different issues that's going on or just about Revelation, basically, the mark of the beast and different stuff. And then he went off, and, then I knew it was a Sunday preacher because he talks about tribulation, that, like we're not going to be here during the tribulation. And I, you can make comment, and I made comment. I said, oh, this was sounding good, but there's error. And I said, we will be here during the time of tribulation and, different stuff. And I put some scriptures and reference points. And I also put read Great Controversy, 39, chapter 39. And I also went back to Great Controversy, and I copied it and I pasted also onto that post. You can make your comment. And that was over, I don't know how many people is on there that made comments, so everyone will see whatever comment other people made once you made a comment. So I pray that people will read it, and I was led back again to make another comment. I put about the Exodus 20 and, the Sabbath, regarding the Sabbath, and I said, please read for yourself to understand what day is the Sabbath. You have to go back to Genesis where God created, started the week, and from evening to evening was the first day. So from Friday evening to Saturday evening, that's a new day. And, I put happy Sabbath, and I just, ask the Lord that people will read it and they will search the Bible and they will look for themselves and learn and understand about God's true Sabbath. And it's been such a blessing, been talking to people. Every time I go to the store, I have this virus is a conversation to open up to people, and where they will open up more to you And I was just talking to this lady for a while, and she was, you know, I was giving her the message, and she was telling me about something about yoga. She used to do it, but she don't think she's going back. And I said, yeah, yoga is not good. I told her about yoga and different stuff, and we were just talking, you know, and it was just a blessing. And I was, you know, going to say to her about what I was observing kind of in a jokey way. Then I said, oh, I was going to say a joke for you, but I see you have on gloves, because I was going to say all of a sudden everyone became doctors and nurses, because you see, like, half, not a majority, but a lot of people have on masks and gloves, and the other half doesn't. So it's like, wow. But God is good. We just have to share with others. We don't, you know, judge. We just have to encourage and share the news with others, and they just have to search for themselves so that they can find the truth for themselves. Amen. So while we are here in the city, while we are here on earth, we have to spread the gospel. We should not be afraid of the everlasting gospel. Amen. So I'll go to the next caller again. Happy Sabbath, my brothers and sisters. 985-381. Your line is now open.
Happy Sabbath. Good evening,
amen,
everyone. Good evening, everyone. This is Sister Brenda calling from Mama Louisiana. I just want to thank God for sparing our life up until now. And just want to thank him for his grace and his mercy for sparing us sinners. I have a scripture, a little prayer I would like to read. And just want to ask him to forgive us for all our iniquities. And I'm trying to pull it up, and something just keeps getting in the way. Okay, here I go. Okay, it says, God, I believe not only that you exist, but also you will reward those who diligently seek you. You will be found of those who hearts truly wish to find you. You will give righteousness to those who hunger and thirst after you. And you will satisfy the longings of those who thirst after God. Amen. I want to thank the Lord for his words of wisdom. And I want to just thank him for everything that we do. We study during the week, Sister Fowler, myself, Leola, and another sister, and a couple more. We study, and we just lift the word of the Lord up and pray for others, and we just have a hallelujah time. And I thank God we'd be able to do that, because we must keep it going. So I just want to thank God and ask for prayer for my family and all the sick and the homeless and the hunger, and pray for peace, and pray that we can pray that to excuse me, y'all, I'm lost, so much going on, I'm just lost. But anyway, I just want to ask the Lord to just forgive us of our sins. And God bless y'all. Happy Sabbath. And I'm still staying, and I've been in a long time, but I'm going to continue staying. Y'all have a blessed Sabbath. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Brendan. Thank you for joining us. This is Sabbath to you and your husband, and also your family. And we will keep you in our personal prayer, and also when we bring the prayer at the before Brother Eugene come on and speak, we will lift you up in prayer. Amen, amen. Again, happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. Please go ahead and press 1. If you would like to share a testimony, scripture reading, song of meditation, something from your devotion, we just have a few minutes. So please press 1 so that you can share. Amen. I'll open the line for 631-552. Your line is now open. Blessed Sabbath.
Oh, blessing. Good night. My name is Sister Caller. Sister Caller, only you're calling from Bronx, New York. I want to thank God for His goodness. I want to share some stuff that I've been looking at this morning. The first quote is from MS 26:19:01, paragraph 21. It says, Christ's coming is nearer than we first believe. The signs of the times shows that the end of all things is at hand. All are now to work for Christ. The heaviest responsibility rests on that worker whose opportunities and privilege have been the greatest. And the next quote is, as I look at some scriptures in Ezekiel, you could look at these scriptures for yourself in Ezekiel 33 from verse 4 to from verse 4 to 9 spoke about if we, as the people of God, fail to warn the people. I heard a testimony of Sister Carla here that she was witnessing to the people, even in the grocery store, wherever she goes. If we fail to warn the people of what is going on and not tell them what we have known, then their blood will be upon our shoulder. Ezekiel 33 tells us that from verse 4 onwards. And I want to share the next quote in the Upward Look, and it's also in a letter, January 14, 1899. It says, it is the character, not the placing, it is the character, not the placing of our names on church books that makes us Christian. What manifestation will appear when Christ abiding in the heart is shining in the faces of those who love Him and keep His commandments. Truth is written there. The man is transformed into Christ's image. A whirling may pass by and not mark a change, but those who have a communion with Christ discern the expression of Christ in word, in spirit. The influence upon the heart is seen in habitual gentleness, a more than human love. The sweet peace of heaven will be in the soul and will be revealed in countenance. So this is telling us that not just our name to be placed on the church book makes us a Christian. But if we are Christian, we should be Christ-like. And what was the work of Christ? Christ was ever about doing the work of God, reaching out, preaching, sharing His life with people, meeting people in their needs, with their needs. He was not away from the people. So as we see what is going on, and they say social distance, why should the Christian be social distance? Not telling people that you know that somebody has corona and you're going to fall and touch them. But God has given us a mandate that we should preach the gospel. And now is the best time to share the gospel with people. Now is the best time because people are fearful and people are losing hope. People are dying from fear more than the corona right now. So we have a learned of Christ and feel good God has been to us. And the greatest thing that He has done for us is accepting us to go and share with us. Thank you for opening up my life.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Brother O'Neill. Amen. Thank you, Brother O'Neill, for coming on and sharing, and praise the Lord. We have to go out and do the work, brothers and sisters, before the night is here and it's, you know, too late, which means, you know, darkness and, you know, turmoil and people's hearts are failing them, which kind of started for things that are coming on the earth. But we know God has not given us... You know, he does not want us to fear. He has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. Amen. So we just want to thank the Lord. I'll go ahead and open the next line. Thank you and blessed Sabbath. I believe this is my sister Katie, my sister in Christ. Happy Sabbath, Sister Katie.
Happy Sabbath, Sister Carla. So good to hear your voice. And happy Sabbath to everyone on the line tonight. I would like to ask for a prayer request for my son Dominique and his girlfriend Autumn. Both of them is in the nursing field, and they come in contact with a lot of sick people every day. And I want God to, and I want to ask God for to continue to watch over them and keep them safe from the virus, because they have been working in the hospital and nursing homes with people who had the virus, but they wasn't told that they had the virus because they were so short on staff that they was afraid if they told them, they would not come. So they were around people who had the virus and they didn't even know it. They found out later because 78 of the workers who worked in the facility contracted the virus. They showed positive and they had to, so they had to leave and be under quarantine. So I said, thank God for watching over them, and I'm asking for prayer that God will continue to find them in his favor and continue to keep them safe from it, because they have the two little small boys at home now, and they were premature. So their immune system is already compromised, and they are still really small for their age, so 'cause they're two now. But they're still the size of maybe a one-year-old. So I just ask for prayer for them as well as myself.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Katie, and praise the Lord that, you know, they are doing okay. And I will open the line for Sister Powell so she can bring us a word of prayer and pray for your son Dominic and his girlfriend Autumn and Sister Leola, Sister Brenda, Brother O'Neill, and all the unspoken prayer requests and everyone that's on this line. Amen. So if there's no more prayer requests or scripture reading, I'll go ahead and open the line for Sister Powell before I open the line for Brother Eugene. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, sister. Thank you, Sister Carla. Let us pray, brothers and sister. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we just want to thank you for this blessed Sabbath day that you have given unto us. We thank you for your love that you have extended to each and every one of us here, Lord. Father, you allow us, dear God, to see and to hear and to listen to all the things that is happening around us. And we just want to say thank you because, Father God, you have protected us. You have kept us. Lord, you have fed us. You have clothed us. And you do so much things for us. So this morning, this evening, we just want to come to say thank you this blessed Sabbath day. Lord, we saw trials, tribulation, sickness, pestilence, war, hatred, all different things is happening, dear God. Famine, Lord. People are fighting. People are doing all manner of things, dear God. But, Lord, we ask you, dear God, to touch each one. They may not know what they are doing in this time, the time, dear God, where they are in fear, and fear is causing so much damage and danger. So we are asking you, Lord, to help them call upon you. Lord, help them that they may know that you promise them that you will be by their side. Father, we are so thankful to know that our brothers and our sisters here, that we can come on this line here, dear Father, to share with one another and to comfort one another. And, dear God, to allow us to know that you have given us a work that we should carry out to the dying world at this time, at the right time, dear Lord, where we can meet souls. Help us not to be afraid, but to do your will. Now, dear Lord, we know the work that you have been doing in the most holy sanctuary. And as we come with our various requests, Lord, each one of us, Lord, we lift up Sister Leola to you, dear God, giving you praise and thanks for what you have done for her. Lord, to allow her how, dear God, you gave each with the world this blessed Sabbath, and how we are supposed to worship on the Sabbath, and how we should respect your holy day. And Lord, you have allowed us, dear God, our eyes to be open so many years. Father God, we were in darkness with your Sabbath, and how we should worship on the Sabbath. And Lord, we thank you for your love, because it wasn't human being, ourselves. It was your grace and your mercies why you have opened our eyes so we can see it, Lord. Help us, Lord. And Sister Leola prayed and asked you, Father God, to keep and to guide. And she's rejoicing, Lord. And we are all rejoicing because you have allowed us, dear God, to follow your command. And you are reminding us, dear Lord, to remember the Sabbath day. So I just want to thank, and I know Sister Leola, Lord, is praising and giving you thanks. Bless her family members, Lord. Keep them as she prayed for her son, Jarvis. Lord, you know everything about Jarvis, and we just ask you to keep him, Lord, to the palm of your hand, Nicole, and also her grandchildren, her community, who she's working with, and see the love that she has, Lord, out there, especially those who are under the bridge, dear God. She have a passion for those men and women, dear God. So we just ask you, Lord, to continue to bless them, continue to keep them, dear Father God. And we pray that they will find places to take them off, dear God, from under that bridge, so I can secure them, dear God. So we leave that project in your care. Father, we lift up Sister Brenda and Brother John. Father, to you, Lord, determined to follow you and to serve you, and been learning and hunger, Lord, to listen to the word, dear Father, with joy in our heart and happiness in our mind, Lord. So we just ask you, Father God, to continue to bless as you study your word. The Holy Spirit will teach and will lead her into all truth. And there, dear Father, she's sharing your word to others, Lord. So we just want to thank you. We ask you for your protection, your love, your care, your healing process with Brother John, Father, Sister Brenda. We ask you to encamp around that family member, or daughter, Lord, or son, also the grandchildren, Lord. We just ask you, Father God, for that peace, that family. We also lift up Sister Katie, dear Lord. Father God, continue to pour your blessing. You know a mother's love for a child, Lord, as she's praying for Dominic, dear God. We ask you, dear God, to be Dominic's great physician, dear, because we are asking you to for your protection, your cover, Lord, to cover him under your blood, that despite he is working in the facilities, dear Lord, where people are around, the patients around there have the disease, Lord, we ask you to cover that young man. Dear God, keep him, use his heart, Lord, help him not to be fearful. Help him to trust you, Lord. Help him that he will have a psalm in his mind, a song in his heart, dear God, that he will do your work, dear Father, and you will be by your side, because you said you wish above all things that your people will prosper and be in good health. So, Lord, we ask you to help that, dear God. He will know that you are there by his side, dear Father God. So keep him under your wings of protection, Lord, towards anything alone, and cover him under your blood. And also bless Madam Sister Katie, continue to keep her, continue to allow her to trust you, and as he to pray, lift up the brother Don Monique, Lord, be children, mother, and also those two young children. We ask you for your protection, your care, your mercy, your cover, Lord, with towards them, dear God, because these are the little ones, them, dear God, that you place in your hand to this evening, Lord. We know you cannot do it physically to embrace them, dear God, but we know that you bless them, and you said suffer these little children to come unto you, for such is the kingdom of heaven. So you, we know, dear God, that you cares for those precious jewels. So we ask you to cover mother and the children and daddy, dear God, and the whole family under your care. Father, we also lift up brother O'Neill, Father, a young man doing your will, pledge, Lord, taking your words out there, even though the crisis is out there. He is doing your will. Continue to bless him. Keep him as he prayed on behalf of his family, his church family, this group, Lord, the prior group. Our brothers and sisters, lift them up. We ask you, Father God, to cover each one. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, what we have listened. Young Nicholas, Lord, was on the line, dear Father, praying, Lord. And when you see young people coming to you, reading scripture and asking you to guide and to lead them in this time, dear Lord, we ask you, Lord, to surround Nicholas, Lord, and his sister, dear Father, this time. Embrace them, Lord. Give them that power and that strength, dear God, that they will be able to carry out your work, dear Father, and to be obedient, because, Father, these young people now, dear Lord, despite they saw what is happening out there, they're going like they have no fear, and they're just going on with a heart like no care. And Lord, we just ask you, Lord, when we see young people who decided to follow you, dear God, Lord, we ask you to cover them, because those who decided and be obedient, they will be the one to go to witness to their friends, to let them know this is the time they have to repent and come to know you. So I'm asking you to cover your dear son, Nicholas, Lord, at this time. And also, Sister Carla, continue to bless her and keep her in her job. She's actually out there, too, with patience, dear Father God. So we ask you to cover her under your blood. And for Christian, dear God, his family, oh, Lord, we ask you, Father, to provide for his many needs and help him, dear Lord, while he minister out there, Lord, with his songs, wherever he is. We ask you for your mercies towards him, and also pour your blessings upon him, Lord. And also, dear Father, tonight, we also lift up every brothers and sister who used to be on this line. We lift up, dear God, brother Udi and his family. We lift up brother Bernard and his family, brother Rick and his family, Lord, and Ashley. We lift her up, and we lift up Elder Richardson, Sister Richardson, and family members, sons. We lift up the Rhode Island team, dear God, brother Chuck, dear God, Mama Mazak. You know the name, dear boy, Father God. We also lift up so many brothers and sisters, dear God. We can't even remember the names, but you know them, dear Father. So whatsoever name we did not present it to you, Father. Brother Eli, his mother, Joari, dear God, we ask you to continue to bless them, keep them, guide them. And Father, whatsoever I failed of asking you, I'm asking you to grant unspoken requests of all those who are on the line, dear God, the internet, we lift them up to you. And this moment, dear Father, we lift up the speaker to you. Allow the word that will come straight from you, dear, to us. Thank you for hearing. Thank you for answering our prayer, Jesus. And we just thank you for this blessed Sabbath day that you have given unto us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Sister Paula, for the prayer. And again, thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us. And I will go ahead and open the line for Brother Eugene. Amen. As we are fringing on the speaker's time, I will go ahead and open the line for Brother Eugene. Your line is now open.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. I would like to say thank you again for the special prayer that was given. For surely heaven on this day rejoices, for Desire of Ages says that on the Sabbath day, God delights to hear the prayer more on the Sabbath than any other day. He's more likely to answer our requests upon this day than any other day, my friends. I pray that you can take guard jealously the time with our Savior on this day. For distractions, it may be good. It will not be sufficient for us to save us. Being busy in ministry, in various things to try to win souls for Jesus, but the greatest soul winning is placing yourself at the feet of the Savior that he may win your soul for his Father's kingdom. My brothers and my sisters, I have a message that I would like to share this evening. And as you listen, it is my gratitude that you may take heed to this message. I do believe that it's a message from God. I sincerely ask that you may pay very close attention in what I have to share, because this is what God has been sharing with me these past 2 weeks, and I pray that it may be fruitful to you. So let us begin with a word of prayer and dive right in. Our Father in heaven, I would like to say thank you again. Happy Sabbath and good evening. Thank you for allowing us to be here on April 3rd, 2020. And Father, Lord, we lift our prayers to you, not only us, but other Christians around the world that are not Seventh-day Adventists. Please be with them, Lord, and be with those who are discovering the Seventh-day Sabbath. And Father, Lord, as I open these words of truth, please be with me and consecrate my lips and hide me by the cross. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. The title of this evening's message is to be just like Jesus. I repeat, to be just like Jesus. I want to turn your attention to the book of Isaiah, chapter 7. The book of Isaiah, chapter 7. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 6 is a well-known passage describing when King Uzziah died, and Isaiah is taken off in vision, and then he sees the seraphims of glory. And then God tells him, in the vision, he steps forward, and he realizes how defiled and how wretched and how wicked his heart is. And he exclaims or expresses the words in verse 5, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And by God's amazing grace, the Bible says that he was purged from his sins. Remember, he saw the Lord of glory and realized his nothingness. He realized he was in the midst of an unclean people. Chapter 7 of Isaiah. Notice what the Bible says in verse 1. "And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Ramali, king of Israel, went up towards Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. So notice this picture, what's happening, that the king of Syria, Rezin, and Pekah, the son of Ramali, the king of Israel, they both teamed up together to make war with Ahaz, king of Judah. And notice verse 2, the Bible says, and it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim, and his heart, the king, was moved. In other words, he was frightened, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. If you actually pay attention on extreme high winds, when it's very windy, the trees all of a sudden begin to shake. At times, as tall as a tree is or as skinny as it is, determining the size of its trunk, it seems as if it's about to tip over, left or right, if you look from the bottom looking up. And so it is when it came to when they heard the report from how two nations rose up against the king of Judah, and the people were fearful and they were shooken as if trees shaken by the wind. And notice what God says to Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 3. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz, this is the king of Judah, thou and Sheba, thy son, to the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field, and say unto him, take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted for the two tails of these smoking firebrands. For the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and the son of Ramali, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Ramali have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a bridge therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel, thus saith the Lord God. Notice what God says. It shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. Now I'm going to stop right there. The king is afraid. The people of Judah are afraid. But you know what God tells Isaiah to do? Tell the king, as well as the people, be not afraid nor faint-hearted. Because what they're about to do, it will not stand. Go to chapter 8 of Isaiah. Notice what the Bible says. Reading from verse 9. And it goes on. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Give ear, all ye of far countries. Speaking of those that are coming to make war with Israel, Judah, and it goes forward, and gird yourselves. He shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourself. He shall be broken in pieces. God says it twice. Notice verse 10. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. This is something that we need to realize, that God is with us. Why am I bringing these points? Notice verse 11. Remember chapter 6. Isaiah said, I dwell in the midst of an unclean people. This is referring to Judah. And yet in chapter 7, these same people, they were afraid of what the nations were conspiring to do against them. And they forgot that God was with them. Chapter 8 of Isaiah, reading from verse 11. Notice what the Bible says. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people. Speaking of Judah, speaking of the same people that were afraid, speaking of the same people that had unclean lips. It goes forward. God says, do not walk in the way of this people. Why? Notice what God says in verse 12. Say he not. This is what God is saying. Don't say a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say, a confederacy. Neither fear he their fear, nor be afraid, God is saying. So notice what the people are saying. The people are saying a confederacy to all them to whom this people will say a confederacy. So the people are saying a confederacy, a confederacy. Now, when you look at the word confederacy in the original Hebrew, that word means kasher, kasher, which means a conspiracy or a treason. So in other words, what the people of God were doing, they were talking about conspiracy theories that was taking place. Conspiracy theories, that definition, it also means a secret plan by a group to do something unlawful or harmful. Who were the secret groups that were planning to do something unlawful and harmful? It was King of Assyria, Ramses, Pekah, son of Remaliah, as well as Ephraim, as well as Syria, confederating together to try to overthrow Judah. And notice what God says in verse 12. He says, neither fear he their fear, nor be afraid. Why does God is telling Isaiah, don't be afraid? Do not be afraid of the conspiracy theories reports that you are hearing among my people. Verse 13 says, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear. Him be your dread. In other words, why are you fearing of the powers or the authorities of this earth, of what they're about to do to you? You need to be afraid of me. I need to be your terror. The word dread means terror. At times, we forget that God is more powerful than these human beings. We forget that God is more powerful than Satan. Because our minds are not fixed into the most holy place, God sadly is placed in a box, stored somewhere in a shelf or in a closet, and we forget that he has the whole world in his hands. And notice what God says, reading from verse 14. And he shall be for a sanctuary. God is a sanctuary, for a stone of stumbling, for a rock of offense to both the house of Israel, for a gin and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and to be taken. Bind up the testimony and seal the law among my disciples. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob. And I will look for him. My brothers and my sisters, my message for this evening is to be like Jesus. The Bible says concerning what we just read in Proverbs chapter 3, reading from verse 24. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 24. The Bible says, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, when thou liest down, thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear. Why? Neither of the desolation of the wicked when it comes. Now I'm going to pause right here. We know that in Matthew chapter 24, in Luke chapter 24, there is a desolation of the wicked that is going to come. And that desolation is known as the abomination of desolation. As students of prophecy, we know that that's referring to as Rome. Prophetically, in the near future, when the papal Sabbath will set up Sunday as the day of rest in this nation and globally. So when the desolation of the wicked cometh, God says, do not be afraid of sudden fear. Why? In verse 26, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Now, it's true that if God is not your confidence, you do have the right to be afraid. Because if he's not for you, then definitely he's against you. But notice what I'm about to read. And this, that I may know him, by Ellen G. White. That I may know him, by Ellen G. White. Inspiration says on page 320, paragraph 3. 320, paragraph 3. It reads, we are living in an age when wickedness prevails, the perils of the last days thicken around us, and because iniquity abounds, the love of many wax cold. The shortness of time is urged as an incentive for us to seek righteousness and to make Christ our friend. And notice what she says, this is not the great motive. I repeat, this is not the great motive. It savors of selfishness. Is it necessary that the terrors of the day of God be held before us is to compel us through fear to right actions? This ought not to be. My friends, I've received videos, messages, the list goes on, from people, even among us, sadly, of things that are taking place. Yes, it's true. Many of it may be true. Many of it may be false. There are things that is taking place to depopulate the world, the one world government, 5G, the list goes on. Satan must do his work, my friends. But guess what? God has a greater work. I'm going to continue the passage. Notice what she says. It continues. After she says, this ought not to be, you know what she says in the next sentence? Jesus is attractive. He is full of love, mercy, and compassion. He proposes to be our friend, to walk with us through all the rough pathways of life. He says to you, I am the Lord thy God. Walk with me, and I will fulfill thy path with light. Jesus, the majesty of heaven, proposes to elevate to companionship with himself those who come to him with their burdens, their weaknesses, and their cares. He will make them their dear children and finally give them an inheritance of more value than an inheritance of more value than the empires of kings, a crown of glory richer than has ever decked the brow of the most exalted earthly monarch. That is, that I may know him. Page 320, paragraph 3. My friends, it is important to warn the brethren. It is important to warn the world. That is the message of the third angel's message. However, the message of the third angel's message also comprises Christ, who is our righteousness. And my friends, I want you to pay attention to this right here. In the book, Desire of Ages, page 493, paragraph 1, it goes along with what God was telling Isaiah. Because we just read that God told Isaiah, do not have conspiracy theories among you, as these people are constantly saying, a conspiracy, a conspiracy. Don't walk after their ways. You know why? Because their minds were not dwelling upon God. They have forgotten that God is mightier than these nations. But notice what Desire of Ages, page 493, paragraph 1. Notice what it says right here. Oh, my goodness. There are Christians who think and speak altogether too much about the power of Satan. They think of their adversary. They pray about him. They talk about him. And he looms up greater and greater in their imagination. It is true that Satan is a powerful being. Friends, it's true that what is to come upon this world, a crisis like we will never see, it's true that's going to come. It's in Revelation chapter 17. It's going to happen. God told us. But notice what Desire of Ages, it continues. It is true that Satan is a powerful being, but thank God we have a mighty Savior who casts out the evil one from heaven. Satan is pleased when we magnify his power. Why not talk of Jesus? Why not magnify his power and his love? Desire of Ages, patron. 493, paragraph 1. My brothers and my sisters, I want to share something with you. There is something that we have been addressing as Christians. In fact, everybody knows it. The Bible says that by beholding, you become change. It is also true in this context, too, that by what you say, the things that you talk about the most also engrosses the mind. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever resides in the heart is an indication of what the person says. I repeat, whatever resides in the heart is an indication of what the person speaks or what they love to talk about. And the list goes on. I want to challenge you because I actually took this challenge. We are counseled to study the closing scenes of the life of Christ, and this should be our meditation. My friends, did you know when you look carefully throughout the four Gospels in account to the life of Christ, when Jesus mentions the word Satan in his conversations, when he was addressing his disciples, the people, and the religious leaders, and non-Israelites, the conversations concerning Satan, that word, when you look it up, he mentioned it only 7 times. The word devil or devils, he mentions it about 6 times when you collaborate the four Gospels. Sometimes the story is mentioned once or twice, but if you look at the stories, the word Satan or devils and the word prince of the world, prince of this world, which is mentioned twice, Jesus mentions it very minimally, less than 20 times. But do you know the word Father addressing his God and my God? That word, if you break down the Gospels, in the book of Matthew alone, Jesus talks about the Father 44 times. In the book of Mark, it's mentioned 5 times. Luke, 21 times. In the Gospel of John alone, he mentions God the Father 116 times. Why am I saying this? Jesus spoke more of God's love, God's power, God's relationship between him and us, as well as himself, more than Satan himself. And you know what this is telling us? That Jesus' mind was more occupied concerning God than concerning what Satan is doing. Concerning what he is doing when church and state is about to unite to put him to death on the cross. More about the Father's love than concerning the hatred and selfishness of Satan. You know why? Because Jesus' mind was fixed upon God's love and God's character. I want to read you a statement in the book Christ Object Lessons, page 411. Christ Object Lessons, page 411. Inspiration says, the class represented by the foolish virgins are not hypocrites. They have regarded for the truth. They advocated the truth. They are attracted to those who believe the truth, but they have not yielded themselves to the Holy Spirit's working. Why did they yield to themselves to the Holy Spirit's working? It continues. They have not fallen upon the rock, Christ Jesus, and permitted their nature to be broken up. Now, we're going to see what happens when someone has not permitted their hearts to be broken on the rock, Christ Jesus. The paragraph continues. They receive, this class are represented also by the stony ground hearers. They receive the word with readiness, but they fail of assimilating its principles. Its influence is not abiding. The Spirit works upon man's hearts according to his desires and consent, implanting in him a new nature, but the class represented by the foolish virgins have not been consent. They have been consent by a superficial work. And notice what it says. They do not know God. They have not studied his character. They have not hailed communion with him. Therefore, they do not know how to trust or how to look and live, and their service to God degenerates into a form. I repeat what inspiration says. They do not know God. One, they have not studied his character. Two, they have not held communion. Three, they therefore have not know how to trust, how to look, and how to live. Do you see why Jesus' mind was more focused on God than on what Satan was doing, especially the agencies of this world, the authorities, and what they're about to do, plan, et cetera, and the papacy, and the list goes on? You know why? Because Jesus, why he was able to endure the crisis, why he was able to stand fast the faith he held, because he studied God's character. He knows the Father. He held communion with the Father. Therefore, he was able to trust, know how to trust, know how to look, and know how to live. My friends, this is very serious in what's happening to Seventh-day Adventists. We are no better than those that dwelt in the days of Isaiah, saying a conspiracy that there are secret groups in government trying to do things to affect us. Yet, the people forgot how great was their God. And it is true that the reason why they probably forgot, you know why? They were not living according to God's instructions. They did not take heed to the counsels of the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy in their day was the writings of Moses, as well as Joshua, and the list goes on. They take not heed to this, friends. Their mind were dwelling upon what they see. They did not see. They couldn't see the guiding hand of God over the nation. And my friends, if we are constantly beholding the works of Satan and what he's doing, we will lose sight of the fact of God's power in our lives. Notice right here in John chapter 14. The book of John chapter 14. Jesus here gives us three big pictures of what's going to happen. And these three big pictures is going to transpire in his life, as well as it is going to transpire in the coming future of what we're about to see in this earth's history. John chapter 14 and verse 29, the Bible says, Jesus speaking, "Now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe." This here, Jesus is addressing prophecy. When prophecy is fulfilled, then you will believe. verse 30, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and have nothing in me. Jesus is addressing what Satan is about to do. But yet, Jesus, with the full assurance of faith, says, Satan has nothing in me. When you read the book Great Controversy and Desire of Ages, that is saying that Satan can find no sin to use against me. So as a result, I have claimed the victory through my Father. And guess what, friends? We can do the same thing, and that's what Christ wants to do in this very hour. And it continues, verse 31. And notice verse 31. And he says this, the prince of this world coming, verse 30, and have nothing in me. Why is that? Why does the prince of this world, he cannot do anything to Jesus? He can't find nothing in him. You know why? Verse 31. But that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me a commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. If you were to die on Friday and you gave a message and it was Wednesday and you had few days to live and you knew that church and state were going to be united to put you to death, what message would you give to your friends and family and brethren? What message would you give? Would you warn them of the coming great storm? Or would you give them a picture of God's love, God's character? Would you give them a picture of how God will provide you the agency of the Holy Spirit to provide for you? Would you tell them that we need to be one, even as our Father in heaven is one with the Son? This is what Jesus was doing. This is what was occupied in his mind. Chapter 15, he was explaining the Father's love. Chapter 16, how the Holy Spirit was going to be with them. And chapter 17, the unity that he desires for us to be with the Father. My friends, verse 31 tells us why Jesus was able to make it all the way to Calvary. Please keep this in mind. In John chapter 13, verse 1 to 3, whenever you get a chance, the Bible says that Jesus, knowing all these things, and as a result, Judas betrayed him. And when you go in verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things to his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. John chapter 18, verse 3, Judas then, having received the band of men and officers, the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh with a lantern and choices a weapon. In verse 4, Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him. John chapter 19, verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, I thirst. You notice a common theme that's happening? Jesus knowing all things. You know why? Because it was prophetically given in the scriptures. His mind in the word of God. And my friends, if we want to make it in these last days, if we want to give a message that will illuminate the earth with power, with light, which represents the angel coming down from heaven in Revelation chapter 18. If we want to give the last merciful rays of God's love to the world, we must have our minds occupied in our relationship with our Father. And guess what? We know that these things are coming. We know what is about to take place. But guess what? Jesus had his mind occupied in the Father. This is why Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 26 says, the Lord will be your confidence. But if God is not your confidence, you have the right to be fearful. You have the right to be afraid of the wicked. You have the right to be very scared because God is not your confidence. But if God is your confidence, my friends, you have nothing to fear. And that's why Jesus says, in John 16, as we come to a close in John 16, reading from verse 32, the Bible says, behold, the hour comes, yea, it's now come, that you will be scattered, every man to his own, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone. Why? Because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. Tribulation is coming for God's people. Persecution, it's true. But be of cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. My brothers and my sisters, if you really want to overcome the world, you and I have to come to the point of our experience to really get to know God intimately, to have our minds fixed on the heart of God. God is weeping with tears because his people are more fearful of what the enemy is doing through the authorities of this world than what Christ is doing in the heavenly sanctuary. Christ's object lesson says on page 415, paragraph 5, as we close, she says that those who wait for the bridegroom's coming are to say to the people, behold your God. Not behold what the enemy's doing on this earth, but behold your God. The last rays of merciful light, the last message of mercy to be given to the world is a revelation of his character of love. If you are not marinated in the heart of God, my friends, you're going to find yourself in a crisis where you will be fearful, not strong. The crisis, my friends, is not designed to cause fear. It is designed to show you where you are in your standing with God. We have two things, and we have a choice. The word fear, F-E-A-R, literally tells us that we are not abiding in Christ, if that is in the Christian's experience. I'm talking fear in the context of being afraid, not in the context of reverence. But fear, F-E-A-R, you have the choice to forget everything and run, or face everything and rise. Those who are not abiding in Christ will forget everything that God gave to us as a people and run and receive the mark of the beast. But those who will face everything and rise will press through the crisis with the assurance of faith. Why? Because they know that they are not alone, because the Father is with them. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, I would like to say thank you again so much, Lord, for us going through this study. There's so many things that we could have went through. There's so many things we could have dissected. But Father, whatever is given, it is my sincere desire that we can understand that we serve a risen Savior. We serve a great God and King. And Father, we serve a compassionate God. You, Father, who love us, and you gave everything from the bottom of your heart, which is your dear Son, to save us. We apologize if our minds have been dwelling upon things of this earth. We apologize for dwelling upon Satan's power. We apologize for not valuing and guarding jealously the hours of prayer and searching the scriptures. We apologize if we have been sharing reports of what is taking place upon this earth instead of sharing reports of the great gospel mission of what Jesus is doing. He wants to cleanse our soul temples. And Father, you have given us instructions to get out of the city into the country. You have given us instructions to get into the gospel medical missionary. And Father, but the greatest instruction that we can be part of is the cleansing and sanitizing our imagination, filtering out all the garbage we have accumulated. Please, we need your Holy Spirit. Give us a correct understanding of your love. May the book Steps to Christ, Desire of Ages, Christ Object Lessons, may the Bible And the list goes on. Be our meditation day and night. This we ask in Jesus' remarkable name, who can only save us. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Eugene. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Pray that you are richly blessed, and may you go forward with these encouraging words. And I just want to leave you with a few. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 read, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And also Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10 reads, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Amen. So let God be our strength. Let him uphold us and keep us from all harm and danger. Keep your mind and your eyes upon the Lord. Happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters, and God bless you. Amen.